Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Stephen Kahn, WebSphere Data Power Worldwide Leader. Sir, you may begin.
Vicky, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to listen to our session today, which is really going to focus on how to use data power and the kind of capabilities that the data power appliances provide, specifically addressing PCI solutions, helping you and your company achieve PCI compliance. So with that, and by the way, we will take question and answers at the end of the session. So please feel free to go ahead and store your questions up. If there's something you need more rapid response to, there is the chat capability that's available, and we'll have people on the team monitoring that to respond to you promptly. So with that, let's kind of jump into the material, and really just as a kind of a refresher, should not be a surprise to any of you on the call, but really I just wanted to start with a level set about what the PCI specifications and standards are all about. And really, PCI stands for Payment Card Industry. And there's a set of data security standards that have been defined that really encompass a security program focused on improving consumer confidence in doing electronic payment transactions, and whether that's, use across the Internet, whether that's from a mobile device, whether that's across a telephone in a call center. Really, it's about defining a set of standards and specifications that are all about protection of information and data that is required to be able to process electronic payment types of interaction. So let me just stop and ask real quickly a question for you all. You can see the polling question out there. If you'd please take a minute to respond to this. You know, in your organization, what are the biggest headaches that you perceive as it pertains to PCI? So if you just, go ahead and select the answer that's most applicable for your organization, I'll give you a second here to respond to this. Okay, let me go ahead and there's still a few people voting, so let me go ahead and share the results that we have right now. So over half of you, have responded with the time and the resources for doing self-assessments. Not a big surprise because that's a big part of the requirement and does take quite a bit of time. But you can see the smattering of answers. Whoever said they don't need PCI audits must not do electronic payment transactions. Either that or you're not quite aware of some of the requirements for gaining PCI conformance. Maybe I'll clear that up for you today. Segmenting of the network and so forth. So let's kind of move on and go to the next set of information, which is really just a quick look at the history behind PCI. So the Payment Card Industry Security Standards Council was created, almost 10 years ago now, and really looked at a lot of the issues around confidentiality, information protection, security across the wires to ensure that data is protected, that really, as I said before, focused on customer confidence in doing electronic transfer of information and electronic payments to ensure that their credit card information or key data isn't exposed or breached in the process of being handled. The initial specifications, the 1.0 level specifications, were adopted back in December of 2004, and an addendum adopted in 2006, and continued refinement of the specifications, where the last round of specifications were released in October of 2010. That's the 2.0 level specifications, and that's really what the payment card industry has standardized on. As of January 2011, really every company that is doing PCI or payment card type processing is required to be at the 2.0 specifications, and that's what is being monitored by the audit committees within the industry today. So really, you know, who does PCI apply to? It really is any company that either stores, processes, transmits, or uses any type of credit card holder data. So, you know, that spans pretty much all industries these days. You know, retail, whether that's done in a brick-and-mortar location or whether that's done via e-commerce over the web. The hospitality industry, you know, the restaurants, hotels, casinos, again, you know, a wide usage there. You know, convenience stores where you swipe your card at the gas pump. You know, a lot of people don't think about it, but, you know, the PCI compliance extends all the way out to the consumer touch point where in this particular case, you know, if you're filling up your car with gas where you swipe your card, from that instant, all the way back to where that information is processed by the hosting location of the data. In the transportation industry, airlines, car rental companies, you know, I kind of think about this when I'm on an airplane these days, and, you know, they come through and say, okay, you can get internet access, but, you know, you have to bill it to your credit card. Or if you want to, on some of the airlines, if you want to buy a snack, they only process that through credit card, you know. You think about that, and the handheld devices that are used to be able to process those transactions are really the point of entry where the compliance from PCI begins. In financial services, whether that's the banks, the insurance companies, or actually the credit card processors themselves, you know, the Visas, the MasterCards, the American Expresses or Discovers of the world, you know, there are a set of specifications and regulations that they must abide by. And, in fact, you know, Visa, MasterCard, you know, the service providers actually have additional requirements that they lay on the merchants that utilize their services to be able to ensure PCI compliance. Really, healthcare, education, government, I don't think there's really an industry today that doesn't have some sort of electronic payment processing that they're providing. Now, some of it may be business to business, where it's direct electronic transfer of information. You know, and in that case, you know, PCI wouldn't apply. But, you know, really where anywhere you're dealing with the external world and doing credit card types of processing. So, really, what is PCI? It really gets down to what known as the Digital Dozen requirements. So they're broken out into kind of six major categories where, you know, the first is build and maintain a secure network, protecting cardholder data, maintaining a vulnerability and management program, implementation of strong access control measurements across, you know, the enterprise environment and the network environment, a regulatory aspect of monitoring and testing the networks. This is where a lot of the subsequent compliance validation comes into play, and maintaining an information security policy. So within these six major categories, there are 12 unique requirements that are, that really comprise what PCI is all about. So, you know, these are the areas that have been defined as those that need to be managed and maintained and implemented from a protection of information perspective. Now, let's kind of take a look at, what kind of the negative side of this is what happens when you're out of compliance. So, if you're out of compliance and a breach were to occur, there are multiple aspects to this. I mean, first and foremost is most companies, really don't want to see their name on the front page of a New York Times or a Wall Street Journal or a, Washington Post or even your local magazine saying that, credit card data has been, cracked or breached within this particular company's environment, right? I mean, it has an enormously negative impact on the corporate image. It has a negative impact on the company's bottom line. Consumer confidence loss in doing business with that company is clearly a direct impact of that. And unfortunately, there's way too many examples of where this has happened. Now, not only do you have the consumer side, but you have the merchant side that's going to come after you as well. Because if you're out of compliance and a breach occurs, the merchants, the Visas, the MasterCard, the Amexes of the world are actually going to come back to you, the company that where the breach occurred, and, make you liable for the exposure associated with that breach. So, for example, credit card data is stolen. And it's stolen as a result of a breach in, company X. And that credit card is used for company X, Y and Z. The merchant, the Visa, the MasterCard, or whatever, could potentially hold the company X, where the breach occurred, liable for any other invalid or unauthorized transactions against that card. So you can see how this can kind of snowball against the company. And in some cases where this has occurred, it actually has created such a financial burden on the company that it's bankrupt companies. So, there's an enormous cost both from reputation, image, and the financial bottom line by not doing what's required within the PCI specifications. So, I know there are a lot of companies out there that, that are compliant and, that's a great thing, but those that aren't really have to be kind of on the warning about what they do. Now, let me just point out that there is a case where companies don't necessarily need to be, the company itself doesn't need to be PCI compliant, and that's if you're providing card-based transactions, but you as the company are not providing the services for those. So you're using a third party or an outsourcing company to provide all the credit card processing, credit card transactional processing. Now, for example, if you go to a company's e-commerce site and you put something in your shopping cart and you go to checkout, and all of a sudden you're doing checkout through something like PayPal, okay? It's PayPal or a merchant service similar to PayPal that has to abide by the PCI compliance regulations, not necessarily the company that's doing that. And I say not necessarily because it all depends on whether or not that company stores or requests any information relative to the credit card processing information itself. So, there are ways, I won't say around the PCI compliance, but there are ways that as a company you can, be within specifications of the PCI compliance without actually having to do that yourself. So a lot of small businesses, a lot of web-based businesses where they use third-party service providers for the card processing, you know, the business itself doesn't need to be PCI compliant, but definitely the third-party service provider they're using has to be. So, you know, really just kind of a couple different ways to look at how to gain compliance and what the downside of it is. Now, you know, I mentioned at the outset, I wanted to talk about how IBM Data Power as a solution to help you with PCI compliance. And, you know, Data Power is a network connectivity device, appliance as we call it, that addresses a wide range of business requirements. The product has been out in the marketplace for over 10 years. It's rock solid, proven in over 1,800 implementations around the world. And it's implemented in every major industry around the globe, whether that's government or banking or finance and insurance or telcos, retail, airlines, you name it. There's, you know, pretty much a one-to-one mapping between the industries where Data Power is used today and, you know, the primary industries where PCI compliance regulations overlap. Now, there's a good reason for this. And as you'll see in a couple of minutes, it's because Data Power provides a set of core capabilities that simplify the PCI compliance and PCI conformance rules that are required by businesses to address the digital dozen requirements that are outlined within PCI. So, you know, we've got the depth, the breadth, and the experience to help you with your PCI requirements. Now, Data Power in and of itself provides a great business value because it's a purpose-built appliance, out of the box, quick to install, no programming required. Data Power is built first and foremost with security in mind. PCI is one of those security capabilities that's provided, but really focused on both physical level security, where Data Power can be deployed in your demilitarized zone, giving you a way to be able to shore up security capabilities at the application level, focused on helping improve the business and giving you rapid time to value because it's, as I said before, it's not programmed, it's a system that is configured to meet specific business requirements that you have and things that you need to address within your application's infrastructure. And it really is all about taking out a lot of the complex grunt work that that is often needed. So, for example, when you're looking at applying security policies, Data Power already has all the rules and the capabilities built into it. The conformance for the web security standards, for example, is built into Data Power. So you don't have to have real deep technical skills in understanding, you know, what the security standards are, all the aspects of them. What you need to know is I need to apply this security policy to this message. You configure that in Data Power, and it does the rest of the heavy lifting for you. So there's a great business value that's provided with the appliance itself. Now, from a product perspective, you know, it also has its value in the fact that, you know, it really is a simple and rapid device to implement. You unpack it, you rack it, you plug your network configurations in, whether that's gigabit or 10 gigabit Ethernet capability, plug it in, configure a couple of things, and basically you're off and running. Many of our customers have implemented Data Power within their environments, and, you know, it's kind of an implementation that we typically say it's in days to weeks. And it really has a great set of pre-built capabilities, and we'll specifically look at what those are around PCI. Now, I mentioned that Data Power has a lot of capabilities, and really what I want to do on this slide is just highlight some of the different things that we do. And we really break it down into eight primary use cases. In the DMZ, we provide a business-to-business partner gateway, not necessarily specific to PCI capabilities, but, you know, providing you a secure and simple way to connect trading partners together. But within the DMZ, providing the fundamental and core security gateway services for web services and web applications, whether they be consumer-facing applications, business-to-business applications, or mobile application services. These are all built into the core foundation of Data Power. At this point is where a lot of the PCI capabilities come into play because, as you'll see, and if you remember some of those 12 requirements, it has to do with access controls, authentication, encryption, data validation, and things of that nature. And these are the security policies that we can apply within the DMZ. We also have the ability to be able to support load balancing and load distribution to really optimize the resources provided within the network. And then back within the trusted domain, you know, being able to secure the applications and application services for internal security, and just kind of a, you know, one of those little tidbits of information. Now, I mentioned before when I was talking about the impact of non-compliance and what happens to a company's, you know, image when they do get breached. You know, understand that breaches can occur from the outside world of people cracking into your system, but breaches also occur from internal sources, where maybe a disgruntled employee or somebody internally within the infrastructure gains access to information that they're not supposed to get access to, and provides payment card information externally. That's an internal breach. What's really interesting is the security analysts have reviewed security breaches over the last 5 or 6 years, what they find is only about 30% of the security breaches that occur in the world today happen externally. Over 70% of the security breaches that occur happen internally within a company's infrastructure. You know, from within somehow somebody getting access to information that they're not supposed to have access to, and utilizing that in a way that it was never intended to be used. So providing internal security is equally as important as providing this external security, and that's why it's such a key point and value proposition of the Data Power family that we provide, because it does provide both that external DMZ level security boundary, but also for the internal applications as well. So if we look at the mapping of the Data Power capabilities back to this digital dozen requirements, the kind of the highlighting on this chart is important. Green says we have a complete solution within Data Power out of the box. The blue is a partial solution, and black is where we don't address that particular requirement with Data Power. So as you can see, the major set of requirements we address out of the box with the Data Power appliance. In the build and maintain a secure network, installing and maintaining firewall configurations to protect the cardholder data. Clearly a part of what we do in Data Power when you're doing PCI work, there's rules that are configured that indicate that you have to abide by the cardholder data rules, and Data Power knows how to do that. You can kind of look through the list, the protection of data, where we will not store any of the cardholder data within the Data Power appliance, and that's true within our logging subsystem, as well as the real-time data that flows through the system. Data Power has the encryption hardware capability built into it. So ensuring that the appropriate levels of encryption are provided as the data transmits through the network infrastructures. The ability to use antivirus software, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we do this in Data Power and why we have a partial solution to do this, but giving you the ability to fully comply to that requirement. Maintain a secure system and application that's really outside the scope. That's really your company's responsibility to to provide that level of integrity. Restricting cardholder data by business need to know. This is all about access controls and the ability to put access control policies into the message flows as they transmit through the system. Aligning unique ID with computer access. Again, you know, multiple levels of security control for who can access the system and what levels of information they can access. And physical access to cardholder data, restricting that, you know, where first and foremost, we don't log the data, but most importantly, you know, the physical device itself is tamper-proof. So if anybody tries to physically get into the box, it immediately disables itself and basically self-destructs. So there's really no way that, you can physically tamper with the device to try to crack in and do anything like that. Track and monitor access. Again, this is a monitoring and reporting capability. We will provide that level of data. Regularly test systems, security, and processes. You know, this is a process-oriented thing, something that you have to implement. Kind of gets back to that polling question I asked before about, you know, what is the most difficult thing that, you know, you have associated with the environment. And, you know, this really gets down to that whole compliance capability and what you have to do. And then, you know, maintain a policy that addresses information security. You know, the security policies are applied and leveraged and enforced within the data power environment. So, you know, you can see that with one solution out of the box, you can address, you know, almost all of the core technical PCI requirements in a very straightforward fashion. Now, looking at this in the parlance of data power terminology, if you look at the key functionality, so, you know, requirement number one kind of maps into three primary areas within data power. Our web services XML capability and our web application firewall that allows protocol filtering and capability and the data validation. Data power's power and strength is the ability to be able to do rapid inspection of the contents of the data flowing through it. We do this at what we call wire speed. So our design principle within data power is to not induce any noticeable performance delay or lag time as we apply the security policies for message flows through the system. We've custom built the appliance. It's tailored for parallel processing that allows us to be able to achieve that type of performance objective. From requirements 3 and 4 to provide field-level security, enforcing the web services security policies and standards, the ability to be able to encrypt and sign individual fields within the message, even, you know, if they're coming in unencrypted, you set a rule that says, I want this field encrypted from here on, data power will apply the encryption rules at that point so that you can achieve the appropriate level of validation. And encryption of the transport protocols themselves. Antivirus protection. I'm going to talk about this on a subsequent slide, but we give you the ability to be able to interact and interface with antivirus systems to achieve those objectives. The ability to provide web services access controls to apply what we call the AAA security policies, which are authentication, authorization, and auditing. And apply those policies for every message flowing through the system to be able to provide a very robust way for you to simply apply the appropriate security policies, authentication controls, access controls, as the system initiates and processes message flows coming in and out. The management and logging, again, a standard part of the system. You have multiple logging levels that you can specify, and you identify a single consolidated source where the logging messages are propagated at an appropriate time. You know, we buffer them up and then on an as-needed basis, send the log data up to your central logging server so that it can be handled and managed appropriately. And, you know, fundamentally, Data Power is an easy configuration-driven system. As I said a couple times, you don't program it, you configure it. There's a robust web services management interface that can be accessed multiple ways, either through a browser. You can access it through a command line. We also have a centralized management tool called the WebSphere Appliance Management Center that allows you to get access and visibility from a single applications to one or more Data Power systems that can be geographically dispersed. Now, just a little bit more detail as we move on to the next slide about how do we protect that cardholder data. So as you can see, kind of a little bit more detail here, but, you know, in essence, there are a set of standard rules that are defined around the message types, and you apply these rules as the messages come in and as the messages go out of the system. So, you know, you would basically say, okay, if this is credit card data, you've got a structure of what that credit card data that's part of the message schema that, you know, is defined. And so as Data Power then processes that on the outbound side, you know, then you can say, okay, I need to encrypt and digitally sign the message. Here are the fields that I need to encrypt. Here's the data I want to encrypt. And, you know, it applies those policies on the messages as they come in and out. So, you know, there's a set of key functions that are required to be able to do that. You know, being able to terminate the SSL connections so that we can apply these policies and do the message management in the middle of the sender and the receiver. You know, the validation of the XML to ensure the schema is valid, that there's no, you know, embedded information in the XML that could cause a back-end application problem or would cause any kind of security breach that could expose any of this type of sensitive data. At this point, we apply the authentication and authorization policies, whether those are defined within the Data Power system or accessed externally through things like an LDAP server that we can access for authentication to, you know, validate the users, and then the authorization, you know, in essence, again, through an LDAP interface to be able to go off to external systems if required to be able to ensure that, you know, users have access to certain fields or data and to be able to do that. One of those parallel processes that we provide is encryption-decryption, and so that's a, you know, dedicated hardware component inside the appliance designed specifically to do that so that we can handle all of that work in parallel of all the other data management and manipulation. So we really bundle all of this stuff up under the covers, give you a very simple way to specify through configuration, okay, I want you to apply, you know, the cardholder data policy against this message. Here's the structure of the message, and Data Power does all the rest of the work. In access controls and credential mappings, addressing, you know, requirements 7 and 8, you know, this, again, is where the policy rules are specified, where, you know, a client would send a request. The request would have a username and password. You know, Data Power, either through its own internal mechanisms or going to an external source, will authenticate the client and validate the credentials, validate the access control mechanisms to ensure that only the authorized users have access to specific sets of information. Again, required to be able to ensure that we're able to address the key digital dozen requirements, number 7 and 8. I mentioned antivirus multiple times. In essence, the approach that we've taken with Data Power is to not embed the antivirus capability inside of the appliance, but give you a way to externally interface with an antivirus server. It's as simple as in your message flows, you say, I want to apply antivirus against this message or any fields associated with the message or attached files that may be associated with the message. You configure a URL where that antivirus server is, and when you hit that process step, DataPower will send the data off to the antivirus server and get back a yes or no answer that says it's clean or it's not. If it's not, we block the message at that point and reject, don't ever allow it to go to the host or the back-end application server. And if it's a clean message, then we'll allow it to transmit through. We took this approach with an external server because, as you well know, the amount of update that takes place in an antivirus application for new signatures and new patterns that need to be implemented, these are things that are done, if not multiple times a day, daily. And so from an overall flexibility and management perspective, keeping that level of update out of the DataPower environment we felt was the appropriate approach to take and really gives you, the user of the system, a lot more flexibility in choosing the enterprise antivirus system that you want to use. So, whatever you use internally within your environment, you use the same antivirus capability for the message capability that is processed by DataPower. So the external users have all the same antivirus policies and protections applied against them that all of your internal applications and users have. So the logging, which is one of the other key requirements, we have hard disks on the box where we log the data. You have the ability to control the level of logging that is done to meet your business requirements and your compliance requirements. We have multiple log files on the system. We have the rollover mechanisms. When a log fills up, we roll over to the secondary log. That triggers a process where we will then begin a background task that will transfer that log data to your designated management and logging server. When the data is successfully transmitted to that server, we'll then, clear the log and make it available for rollover. And so, this is all a built-in capability. You really don't have to do anything other than specify what level of logging you want within the DataPower system itself. Now, within those Digital Dozen requirements, it talks about the capabilities of web application security and those fundamental attacks that you have to protect against. There's a working committee called the Open Web Application Security Project, and it has defined a series of web attacks that are, in this specific case, the top 10 attacks that you need to protect yourself from to make sure that your application infrastructure and your network infrastructure achieves the appropriate security requirements from the network side. And you can see the top 10 list here. The first one is injection. This is where you get SQL injections, which if you've delved into the world of security, you'll know this is one of the most prominent ways that security attacks occur. Cross-site scripting, the broken authentication and session management. So you can see the top 10 that are listed here. And these are defined by this OWASP committee and are the top and are the 10 requirements that you have to comply to get that checkmark in PCI compliance that says that your network is secure. Well, the good news is that DataPower provides protection for all 10 of these capabilities. Now, I'm not going to cover it today, but in the additional information that's available with the presentation file if you download it. I've got a chart on each one of these 10 requirements and what we've done within the Data Power product to give you the capability to protect against these types of attacks. So again, as I said before, you know, Data Power out of the box addresses really the hardest parts of PCI compliance because we have these levels of security capabilities built in, already there, you know, available at your fingertips, nothing more that you need to do to be able to gain access to that. Now, we've got a lot of customers that use Data Power for PCI compliance. I just wanted to list a couple here, some of which they let us call out by name, some of which, you know, they really want to protect their name. But again, I've tried to give you, you know, Visa as one of the providers, REI in the retail space. For those of you that are outdoor people, I'm sure you're very, very familiar with REI, but they use Data Power as the core element of protection within their network environment. Basically, you know, from the store all the way to their back ends, the core element that is utilized in there for protection and compliance is Data Power. In the U.S., a national uniform provider, who does a lot of, you know, small business support, medium and large business support. They interact with consumers, but they've implemented Data Power. It's really in a B2B-oriented environment, but because there's a lot of financial processing and payment data that flows between that, again, they've used Data Power there. Another a major prepaid wireless carrier is using Data Power there to provide the levels of protection from their merchants as well as from the consumers who can basically store their credit card information on the prepaid wireless carrier. You know, then they go in through their phone and authorize charges against their account for adding minutes or adding services or things of that nature. It's critically important to them. What's really interesting about this particular company, about a year and a half ago, we started talking with them. They had just failed a PCI audit and were about ready to start to incur some pretty significant fines by not being PCI compliant. We started working with them. And from the beginning of the discussion to the time that they were implemented with the Data Power solution was about 4 months, start to finish, fully in production. Once they did that, they requested another PCI audit. They passed with flying colors and have been in great shape ever since. So, again, a very, very fast way to be able to go from non-compliance to compliance. So just to summarize, you know, some of the key business benefits, you know, reusability is kind of at the first and front and foremost for Data Power, allowing you to reuse your corporate applications, your corporate infrastructure, your corporate capabilities without having to make programming changes to be able to gain access to the benefits that we can apply from a security policy perspective. Giving you the ability to not have to code all the PCI compliance rules and regulations in your business applications, let Data Power do that work, leave your applications alone, leave them intact. That's how we gain such rapid time to value. It's very flexible. I showed you those 8 use cases. You know, you can start with one, implement that, and, you know, down the road when you're ready to do more things, you just come back, add the configurations that are required to be able to add additional services and capabilities, and boom, you know, it's just a real quick way to incrementally add services and capabilities. We feel it's a very low-risk solution for you. Why? Well, over 1,800 companies have implemented across the world. You know, if you look, over 80% of the top 100 financial services companies and banks across the globe have implemented Data Power within their application infrastructure. Most of those are using it in one form or another for PCI. So the point here is that we've been there, we've done it, hundreds of times. You can gain the benefit of that by, you know, utilizing the knowledge and the resources that we can bring to help you gain PCI compliance very, very rapidly. You know, just a quick mention of our product family. We have three primary models: our Service Gateway, which is our our entry point. DMZ deployable provides all of the capabilities I've talked about today. The B2B Gateway is everything that the XG45 is, the Service Gateway, plus specific rules and transport protocol support for business-to-business protocols like AS1, AS2, EDI, and so forth. And then our integration appliance, which has everything that the Service Gateway has, plus a broad set of message mediation and transformation capabilities, also known as Enterprise Service Bus support, for allowing you to connect many different applications and communication protocols together without, again, having to go in and modify or change your business application. If you download the handout, there's a whole bunch of links where you can go to get information, whether that's product information about Data Power, or information specific to some of the capabilities. And we've also, as you can see on this slide, the last couple of things here, out on our developer work sites, have posted a couple of articles that are very, very specific to PCI and PCI compliance. You know, I know PCI has been around for a long time, and you know, it's something that's you know, not new, but you know, it's really interesting to me. I mean, we're doing this seminar for you all today. I get probably two or three notifications a week of sessions, whether they're call center focused or network infrastructure focused, that are all centered, you know, around you know, PCI and PCI compliance. So even though, you know, these kind of capabilities have been around for quite some time, you know, we really know that it's a very active environment. So with that, Vicki, if we can open it up for Q&As, I've just posted another polling question. So if you could please take a minute to respond to the polling question about any other webinars you'd like to see as a follow-on to this one, and let's open up the lines for any questions and answers.
Thanks, Steve. This is Adam Lafredo, and I have a couple questions from some of the viewers here in front of me. The first is from – actually, there's a handful of them from Hugo. The first one is, if I understand it correctly, Hugo's asking about the amount of volumes of credit card transactions and whether or not you can use a self-assessment or if you need to use an official QSA to do – to gain PCI compliance. So I can kind of have the answer to that here. There's four different levels of PCI. Level one is the highest, meaning that you have the most amount of transactions, and that's 6 million plus transactions on an annual basis. Those folks would have to be they would need a QSA in order to gain PCI compliance. So levels 2, 3, and 4, which are level 2 is between 1 and 6 million transactions annually. Level 3 is 20,000 transactions to 1 million transactions annually. And then level 4 is less than 20,000 transactions per year. All of those you can do a self-assessment, but they do require that you get quarterly network scans by an approved scanning vendor. So I think that answers the question that Hugo was asking there. The next one is also from Hugo, and he is asking what type of encryption is supported with the appliance. And the second part to that is, are there any keys associated with that encryption support. So I don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the encryption support is standard DES encryption. The key management can be done multiple different ways, Data Power is an optional hardware security module that can be utilized for, if you actually want to store the keys on Data Power and store them in a secure and protected manner. We do provide the HSM hardware to gain Total FIPS compliance for key management and key storage. If not, we can utilize, external key management systems, whether that's on a multitude of environments. We also support Kerberos capabilities within the environment as well.
Great, thank you. But then the last question we have here is, within Data Power, can you create multiple security accesses by domain? Meaning, I think what he's getting at is, can you have multiple users or admins that have access to specific domain configurations? So can you partition things off?
Yes. Data Power does have the ability to create independent domains within the system itself. Each domain would have its own set of authorized user access, who has certain levels of access and controls over the capabilities within that particular domain. And so it can be, logically partitioned in that manner and configured, managed, and the service provisioning within the domains can be, the same or different across the different domains. And there's really no limit as far as the number of domains within a single Data Power system. It really gets more to, what becomes manageable from the user's perspective.
Great. I don't see any other questions coming across. Let's see. We'll give a...
Are there any questions across the phone lines?
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Okay, well, I guess there are no questions. Well, I guess with that, I'd like to thank you very much for your time and attention today. Hopefully you found this information useful. If you need any subsequent information, you can download the slides, follow a lot of the links there, but also reach out to those of us at IBM that are available to help you with your questions and so forth. So, I'd like to, again, thank you for attending, and that'll wrap up the call for today.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.